are now listening to a very special message from Joy Community Church.
People who are in full-time ministry, they actually give you a free retreat at their center every year, just so that you can be rehabilitated and renourished and strengthened and all those things. So, and actually, that's where Pastor Greta and I met Pastor Bob over 5 years ago when we were on retreat. So we're looking forward to that. Keep us in prayer. This morning, I want to take you on a journey through the scriptures, and I want to talk about nurturing moms, nurturing moms. Yesterday, as I was putting together the photo booth out there for us, I was getting balloons and helium balloons. And one of the things I wanted to do with one of those balloons is I just wanted to release it in honor of my mother, because my mom's gone to be with the Lord. And so, and as I let it fly, I was just like looking in the heavens and just thanking the Lord that in her final days of life, I had the privilege to lead her to Christ. And she was a strong, independent woman. And for that to have happened was what we sang about this morning, a miracle's about to happen. And it did that day when I led her to Jesus. It was a wonderful day. So, well, there's so many things that we've learned from our mother and mothers who nurture. My mother taught me some good religion. And she used to say things like, "You better pray that comes out of the carpet now." My mother taught me about medicine. She said to me, if you don't stop crossing your eyes, they're going to freeze that way. I don't know if any of yours have freeze that way, but my mother taught me how to be a contortionist. Yeah, oh yeah. She said, you need to look at the dirt behind those ears. Now, how am I going to look at the dirt behind my ears? That is impossible. My mother taught me to appreciate a job well done. She said, if you're going to kill each other, do it outside. I just finished cleaning the house. One of the things my mom taught me a lot about, and I used to hear this a lot, was about genetics. And she used to say, you're just like your father. Oh, yeah. And my mother often taught me about logic. She said, because I said so, that's why. Do you remember hearing that? Because I said so, that's why. And so I learned how to be very logical, I think, from her teaching. I don't know if you had a mom like that, but maybe some of you had a mom like that. And I deeply appreciate those mothers who nurture their children's hearts whenever they need to be encouraged, whenever they need confidence, whenever they need personal comfort and compassion and positive reinforcement. It's great to have a nurturing mother and a nurturing heart that she actually extends to you. And I'm confident that each person here has in some way experienced nurture from their mother. The comfort that their mother had or their grandmother had or a spiritual mother as I have had. I've had the privilege to have all three of those in my life. And my mother's gone to be with the Lord. My grandmother's gone to be with the Lord. And so my spiritual mother actually loves to make sure that I stay in line. And so, and she nurtures my heart in the Lord as well. Christian mothers are used of God to nurture their children's hearts. A child knows when mama is nurturing them. A child knows who to go to when they need that type of support. And a child has an instinct, like I did, that no matter what type of trouble I got into, though my mother would correct me, I always knew I was accepted, I was loved, and I still was her child. Even though she said she liked to rent me sometimes to some other mothers, you know. So a Christian mother's nurturing will actually foster different qualities in a child's life. And I want to talk to you about some of those qualities this morning. Mothers, first of all, they nurture forgiveness in their children. Moms understand that a child, their honesty, their obedience to one of Christ's commands can shape the relationships in years to come. I like what Matthew 18, 21, 22 says. Then Peter came to Jesus and asked, "Lord, how many times shall I forgive my brother when he sins against me? Up to seven times?" And Jesus answered, "I tell you, not seven times, but seven times seven. 70 times seven times." Sorry about that. 70 times seven times. And moms often encourage us to forgive and forget. That's often we'll forgive, but sometimes it's difficult to forget some of the circumstances. But when you forgive, it actually ushers in the grace to release and forget. Amen? And that's an important lesson that moms love to teach their kids. But like Peter, most kids are comfortable with forgiveness when it's only seven times. I've done enough of that. I'm not doing it again. But mothers understand the importance of 70 times, seven times. And unfortunately, all of us are like Peter in some respect or other. And we expect that we can get off the hook. We don't have to forgive that many times. All we have to do is this many times. But Jesus commanded it. It's not a choice, it's a command. And he is filled with limitless forgiveness. And just like we had time here today with the worship team, Jesus is filled with limitless forgiveness for each one of us. I've told you this story before, I think, and but I'm going to tell it again because there's really a part two to the story. And I've shared the story about when I was in fourth grade. I was in love with my fourth grade teacher. Like, really in love. Really in love with her. And I thought she was going to be my wife. And I wanted to reassure her that I could afford her. Oh, yes. And so, what I did is I would go into my mother's jewelry box and I would take out little pieces of jewelry that I thought my mother wouldn't miss. You know what I'm saying? And I would wrap them up and I would take it, whether it was, you know, Valentine's Day, those were bigger gifts, you know. So I would take my mother's, like, not her earrings, maybe a necklace or a bracelet, wrap it up, bring it to my teacher. Christmas time, I thought, well, Christmas is a big, you know, a big celebration. So that ought to be, like, at least both, you know, earrings and, you know, a necklace. And so I'd pack that up and send it in. And then I found out when her birthday was. Oh, yes. And I wanted to make sure that this boy never forgot his girlfriend's birthday. Mm-hmm. I thought she understood I was her boyfriend. I really was convinced. Because when I was in her class, she was always staring at me. Only for 20 years later, when I was a student teacher, she told me, "I stared at you to keep you in line." I'm like, "Oh, I thought you especially liked me." Yeah. Oh, yeah. So my mother has to go to parent-teacher interviews over the, you know, the Christmas season. The first term, we used, you know, they didn't call it semesters. And she went in, and Miss Dower was discussing my grades, and the conversation kind of turned around from the grades, which I was very happy that that conversation changed, and it turned to me bringing gifts to my teacher. And so she had asked my mom, she said, "Mrs. Laughlin, have you happened to notice if you've been missing any of your jewelry?" And my mother's like, "I don't think so." And she opened her drawer, and there was a plethora of jewelry. I'm not sure who sent it to her. It must have been one of the other students, you know. And so my mother took all her jewelry, and she brought it home with her. And then my mother had a beautiful heart-to-heart conversation with me. Oh, it was really nurturing. And now, some of the jewelry I didn't know wasn't hers. Some of it was my sister's, and she had kept it in her jewelry box so they wouldn't have missed it. And some of them were actually heirlooms that were passed down from various aunts and her own mother. So I didn't know what an heirloom was. I was innocent up to that point. Yeah. It was when the heirloom conversation came up, I was in big trouble. And so she actually told me I had to go to my sister and I had to ask her for forgiveness for stealing her jewelry. And then she said, you have to ask me for forgiveness because you stole my jewelry. You didn't ask permission. And I had to try to convince my mom that I didn't steal. I was just giving away things. And I had to explain to her that if you loved your teacher the way I love my teacher, you would want to give her some jewelry too. And she said, that wasn't yours to give, right? And so she began to teach me. And then she said, and then you're going to go and ask your teacher for forgiveness because you stole from us to give to her. That was not cool. And she said, I'm going to actually, that's the part two of the story, is I'm going to actually call your teacher and ask her if you did that. So talk about eating humble pie, because I knew I was her boyfriend. You know what I mean? And all of a sudden that this boyfriend couldn't afford nice presents and give her pretty things, my heart was broken. And so I went in and I asked her, I did ask her for forgiveness. And I think that lesson really affected me in years to come. And it's had an impact on my life as a person, and the lesson of what's not yours is not yours to take was a huge lesson. And the humility of asking for forgiveness for taking that and giving it to her, that was embarrassing. So I thought I'd get her another way and bless her some other way. And so I met her at her house. Oh, yes. Found out where she lived. And I was going to convince her I was her boyfriend. She was dating another guy at the time, and I didn't want her to marry him. And so I sat on her fence waiting for her, and I said, I'm the one you're supposed to marry, not him. Yeah, and that turned into another crucial conversation. And I won't even go into that, but the lessons from that were hard as well. But you know, when I read Matthew 26, that story came alive to me when I got saved. Because I'm very much like a Peter. Peter himself was told that, you know, before the rooster crows, you will have disowned me three times. And in Matthew 26, verse 75, it says, and he went outside and he wept bitterly. We see that when I actually went to my teacher's house to ask her to marry me and to tell her that this was indeed not her husband to be, that next day I ended up getting the strap from the principal. And let me tell you, I wept when I got that strap. You know when you see somebody strapped, you swear they jump off the ground this high to make sure you get it good. And but again, it was one of those moments where you learn that forgiveness is a gift. When God forgives us, it's a gift. It's grace extended when we really don't deserve it. But because of his love for us, he forgives us. And moms are like that. Moms are eager to teach their children to have
a merciful heart and not to refuse to forgive or to receive forgiveness. And when a child least expects God to forgive, God reaches out in his grace, reminding that child that they are his own. Do you know, every child who has been forgiven by a parent, every child who has to have asked for forgiveness, something happens when you come into the kingdom of God. God brings revelation to that practice, because usually as a child, I didn't have Christ in my heart as a child. It was just something you were taught to do. It was a moral standard of the day. Do you understand what I'm saying? But once you become a believer, that practice is no longer just a moral standard. It's an obedience to a commandment that brings forth life. And that's the beauties of mothers who really cultivate and nurture that in their children's hearts. So today, moms have an opportunity to inform the children that God's forgiveness is as near as a prayer. Make sure you get your kids to pray for forgiveness and to give forgiveness. Mothers nurture faithfulness as well. We see even in Luke chapter 16, verses 10 to 12, it says, "Whoever can be trusted with very little can also be trusted with much, and whoever is dishonest will with very little will also be dishonest with much. So if you have not been trustworthy in handling worldly wealth, who will trust you with true riches? And if you have not been trustworthy with someone else's property, who will give you property of your own?" Luke 16, verses 10 to 12. And you see here in verse 10 that you want to teach your children to be faithful in the smallest of things. And then you want to teach them how to be faithful with the blessings of God in financial things. Even when they're little, teach them how to be obedient in giving to the Lord their tithe. Whether they get 50 cents or a dollar or $5, I say to you as moms, please encourage your children to be a blessing and give to the Lord, because it teaches them the principle of how that God's in charge of everything they have, everything you have, and he will multiply that in their lives. And then also, in verse 12, faithful with other things as well, that when the Lord grants you the privilege to have things and privileges and opportunities, those are not because of your good looks. So not only because of your status and your family name, though sometimes that will make way for you. My family name never made way for me. People knew our family name was, "Those boys are trouble." That's what our family name represented, trouble. And when I got saved, God had to transform that identity to realize, wait, I need to be faithful in what God has given me. And moms who nurture faithfulness in their children understand how the world entices children, how the world will make sure that things appear desirable, things will appear to be beneficial, and things are perfectly harmless. But when you teach children the mindset of to be faithful to the Lord, they actually will begin to minister to the rest of the family and to the Lord with a faithful spirit. I want to show you a video of children who understand how much they need their mom to be faithfully teaching them these lessons. Let's show that video now, please.
Hey,
Mom.
Mom?
I'll be concerned with what my friends think of me.
I'll need you to teach me that I only need God's approval.
I'll want what I want when I want it.
I'll need you to teach me to be a servant
so I can love others.
I'll think I'm a lot smarter than I actually am.
I'll think I'm a lot smarter than I actually am. I'll need you to show me how to learn from God's wisdom. I'll act like I don't have any problems.
I'll need you to show me how to share my struggles with others.
I'll tend to think about myself before others.
I'll need you to teach me that the last will become first.
The last will become first.
The last will become first.
I'll have many reasons to hold grudges.
I'll have many reasons to hold grudges.
I'll need you to model forgiveness
so I can learn to show grace.
So I can learn to show grace.
I'll want to have a lot of money so I can buy what I want.
I'll need you to teach me that my things belong to God.
That my things belong to God.
I'll struggle with my looks and appearance.
I'll need you to remind me that God wonderfully made me.
I'll need you, Mom.
I'll need you, Mom.
I'll need you, Mom.
To point me toward Christ.
When no one else will.
Amen. And that's what kids will naturally tell you those things. They'll beat around the bush, but they'll tell you those things when they need them. I like what Luke 19, 17 says. And he said to him, "Well done, good servant." His master replied, "Because you have been trustworthy in very small matters, take charge of 10 cities." God longs to promote children. Can I tell you that? That's his heart. And those who have been faithful with limited resources and who have suddenly graduated to a place of responsibility. And there's mothers understand that intuitively when children are ready for new responsibilities. And they're also intuitive because they've watched their children and they say that child has a faithful spirit. And they nurture that, and that child's not afraid to take on responsibilities that often are beyond their skill set. They'll be willing to do that because their mothers nurtured that in them. Each mom, I like what A.B. Simpson said, it's not our success in service that counts, it's our faithfulness. And that's what we want to talk to our children about. We're not asking you to be successful in the sense of what the world defines success. We're asking you to be faithful. And out of your faithfulness to God, God will grant you the success he's designed for you to have. And each mother has experienced personal crisis in their lives. Every single mother here has faced a crisis of some sort and knows how essential it is to nurture faithfulness in their children's hearts, because it won't be too long before their child actually encounters a crisis themselves. And so, mothers, I want to thank you for the way that you nurture the faithfulness of God in your child's lives. Another thing that, as I think of a nurturing mother, and that is mothers who nurture confidence in their children's futures. Philippians 1:6 says this, "Being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus." I want to encourage you moms today. It doesn't say when your kid gets it right, then their future will happen. It's not saying when your child proves to you that everything you taught them, they're walking in complete obedience. It's not saying that in this scripture. It's saying this scripture is actually talking to us about until. It means it's a progression, that confidence in a child's future. That means there's going to be bumps and bruises and potholes on the journey. And sometimes a child can actually go around that pothole quite well. They've been trained. But then sometimes, listen, folks, the enemy designs potholes. He designs potholes. And he wants to make sure he takes the tire off that car. He wants that kid off the beaten path, and he wants that child not to be serving Christ as their Lord and Savior. And God has begun a good work. If your child received Christ as their Lord and Savior, I don't care if they're 3 today, or if they're 63, or if they're 73. I don't think anybody has a 73-year-old kid here today. But God began that good work. It's a good work. Why is it a good work? Because the cross was a good work. It was a perfect work that allowed us as parents to put our hopes and beliefs that one day our children would turn their hearts to the cross of Calvary as God continues this good work in them. And He has called you forth. He has called them forth to pray and remind God. Pray and remind God. God, it's your responsibility to complete this good work. Call that child forth in godliness, in righteousness, and holiness. We can pray that way and watch God do a miraculous work. Remember that your children are, they're called to participate in the grace. If you go down in verse 7, it talks, and 8 and 9, it talks about how we've been, Paul is encouraging the Philippians to participate in this process of their future, to participate in this journey and the unfolding of God's good, perfect, and pleasing will. He's calling them to realize that as they participate with him, they work alongside with him, God can complete what he's already begun in their lives. My spiritual mother, now that my mother's gone, has actually stepped it up. And she will be praying for me every day, by the way, not only me, my whole family, and prays for me. And she has always a sense when things need prayer. And she'll call me and she'll text me and she'll say, please give me a call. I want to talk to you. And I'll call her and she said, this is what I'm sensing from the Lord. What's happening? And I'll tell her. She said, okay, want you to know I'll be praying. And what a wonderful gift to have from a spiritual mother. And she has this intuition about my future. And I remember when I got saved, that she was used by the Lord to direct me. And she drove me to Elam to go to school. Drove me to Elam and told me to get my heart and my eyes focused on Jesus. And has been involved in my walk. She was there on my wedding day. She was there on my ordination. She's been there in some of the most difficult situations. And God has put on her heart my future in Christ. And she knows I'm not perfect. She'd be the first one to tell you, though she adores me. Oh, she does. I'm telling you the truth. But she also knows I'm a hot mess and a handful too. And I didn't ask you to agree. I'm just telling you what she thinks. I will be meeting you at the photo booth. Oh, yes. Romans 8:28 says, and we know in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. Moms, he knows your heart. He knows your heartbeat. He, as you are such a beautiful nurturer, he nurtures that place in your heart that no one can go to. That secret place that him and you know about together. He knows those places where you have dreamed dreams for your children, where you have had faith for your children, where you have risked your life for your kids, where you've self-sacrificed to nurture that future so they could stand before the Lord and declare the glory of God with their own mouths, in their own hearts. And many mothers in this place today, I want to encourage you that God works for good to those who love Him. You love Him. It's evident you love Him. It's evident that you know Him. It's evident that you care. It's evident that you self-sacrifice. It's evident. Nurture is written all over your heart and all your actions. And sometimes you can celebrate in victory because it's going so well. And sometimes it's not so well. And I've watched you in the heat of the moment choose to still nurture that child, that situation. And at times, just open up your heart to God and say, God, I need you to nurture me. Never be ashamed, moms, to ask God to nurture your heart. Who has been called according to whose purpose? It's not your purpose. It's His purpose. I remember one weekend, my mother kind of arrived. She was supposed to arrive that one day and came early. This was when our first pastorate. And she wanted to stay for service. My mother had never heard me preach. Never. And it was Saturday night, and every Saturday I would go into the sanctuary of this small country church, lay hands on every pew. I would practice my sermon, and I was terrible, I'm telling you. And but a mother never thinks you're terrible, right? And my mother decided to come and sit with me to watch me rehearse my sermon. And she was sitting on the altar. I actually can still see her sitting on the altar. I had never seen my mother look at me with such love as I saw that night. It was one of those moments that you wish you had your Polaroid camera, right? Just to take that. But I remember, it's in my heart. And my mother just said to me that night, she said, I don't understand everything that you do, but I want you to know that I'm happy that you're doing what you're doing. That meant the world to me, because that was a tough place to minister. Anytime it's your first at anything, those poor people are in for it. You know what I mean? You just feel for the congregation. But it took my mom to just say, I'm really pleased with what's going down here. And it's according to God's purposes. Remember that, moms. Even when you don't understand, and that's really the essence of that story, is you're not going to understand every choice your child makes. If it was up to my mother, I would have been on Broadway under the lights. That's what she wanted. That was her dream for me as well. But to see me become a pastor totally jolted her. And there'll be those jolting seasons of life. Not everything our kids do, we understand. But God is in control of His purpose. And I just want to encourage you. There's the children's book, The Little Engine That Could. Remember that book? Oh, that was a storybook that everybody had read to them when they were younger. And the train was taking all the toys and the food, and the little train was about to head up the mountain, and it broke down. And then the passenger train came and said, I don't deal with things like you. I'm taking passengers on a ride. And then a big freight train came, and they asked if they would help. And no, we don't take toys and food. We take big, important freight over the hill. And then this other little run-down engine came, and he said, I don't think I could get you over the hill because I'm just broken down. And then she was so beautiful, this little blue engine. And she says, well, this is not normally what they use me for. Have mothers ever felt that way? This is not normally what I'm used for. Do I have to do this? She said, usually I'm the one who actually moves the train around, all the trains. And they said, yeah, but we need, the children are going to need their food and all their toys, and you've got to get us up over the hill. And she says, I think I can. And at the end of the story, she's tugging up that hill, that mountain, and she's at the top of the mountain, and she's coming down the mountain, and all the kids are celebrating because they're getting their toys and their food. And she says at the end, in the last page of the book, I thought I could. And I just hear the Lord saying this morning to moms, I want you to say out loud to me, to the Lord, I thought I could. Oh, maybe it's not been easy, but God has enabled you to pull a lot up the mountain. Let's give our moms a big hand, guys. Your children can draw confidence for their future because you know they can. And then you can declare, I thought you would. Why do moms think that? Because they know that the mighty Savior can and will. Amen? He is concerned for your children's future. Moms who nurture forgiveness, faithfulness, and confidence in their children's future require more than endurance, but a patient, compassionate heart. Moms who realize that God is aiming at something that cannot be seen yet entrust their children's lives into God's hands. Are you committed to nurture these qualities in your children's lives so they can develop a strong faith? And are you willing to release God's purposes, His purposes? Are you ready to release that and let it go if it's not working your way? He thought you could. Let's pray. Father, we come today and celebrate mothers who nurture their children's hearts, who nurture forgiveness and nurture faithfulness and nurture, Father, the children's confidence of their future. We are blessed, Lord God, and confident that you who begun a good work in each child's life will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. And we ask, Father, that a blessing be upon each mother today, that in all things, Lord, all things, you would work for good because these moms love you. And Lord, they've been called and their children have been called according to your purpose. We believe it, we pray it, and we call it forth in faith. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. We have the ministry team will come forth and pray. Also remember to take, get your little compacts out there. And also the photo booth is out there. Jim's going to be taking pictures. If you want a picture, please go out and take it with your kids or your husband, yourself, or just yourself. If you're a spiritual mama, you can do that too. God bless you. Have a wonderful day. Happy Mother's Day. I'm trying to pray.
Thank you for listening. For more information, please visit us at joycc.info.